Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 165, part 1, Beware of Evil Tongues and Lying Lips. Today is Friday, September 17th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m., to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also shop Pastor Paul's Mall online, groceries at vons.com. Be sure to visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join the community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to the blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to go to PastorPaul.org and check out the interactive links at the top of the homepage. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. There you're going to find the show notes to Pastor Paul's podcast, where you're going to find scripture links that are within Pastor Paul's messages. You can also email me, Janine@PastorPaul.org. Be sure to join us every week on Friday for part one and on Sunday for part two of Pastor Paul's weekly podcast. This is the lineup for the month of September. How's your own vineyard? God's hope for feeble saints. Beware of the evil tongues of lying lips. The fork in the road. We'll have a great month of September, the beginning of fall. Beautiful in Minnesota. If you come here to visit, be sure to give us a call at Pastor Paul's. God bless you and have a great month.
Tonight's tape is entitled, Beware of Evil Tongues and Lips. And so tonight we'll look at two things that can kill or cure, the lips and the tongue. They're two partners when wrongly used that can cause heartache. They can cause defeat and sickness, jealousy, murder, hate, wars, rumors of wars, divorce. They can kill a ministry. They can kill a love affair. They can kill the person's spirit. They can kill hope, and they can kill peace. These two evil partners, wrongly used. Evil tongues and lips, when they're wrongly used, are vicious. They know no mercy. You get in on some of these hen parties and they know no mercy. They have no respect for others' feelings. And what are they? They are the lips. They are the tongue. First, let's look at lying lips, and then let's look at the partner, terrible tongue. Psalm 120 says, "And David cried out in his distress. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord," and guess what? "And he heard me." Now, I think we need to talk about this because there's a lot of it going on. I get a lot of phone calls. I always have. And it's slander. Slander can cause a distress of the most grievous kind. Those of you that have felt the edge, you listening on the radio, this tape, you in the here tonight. Those of you that have felt the cruel edge of the tongue, know that it is sharper than any two-edged sword also. Maybe you listening have suffered some kind of an injustice, but you find yourself helpless to fight with evil. How do you fight it? You can't even act in your own defense. See, you can hide behind a tree when a bullet comes. You can run for the basement when a tornado hits. You can run for an air raid shelter when the bombs fall, and you can set a rat trap when a rat comes to visit. But I know that we have no shield against the liar's tongue. There is no shield. And when Mrs. Lying Lips or Mr. Terrible Tongue come a-calling, the father, the Bible says, of lies is at work. Now listen, a lie is a terrible thing. You don't know how it got started, this falsehood, or where it was born, where it will go, or how far, or how to follow it. Maybe you'll go to bed and you'll say, "My God, how did this thing get started? I didn't do this, I didn't do that, they didn't do this, they didn't do that. How did this thing ever get started?" And you don't know how to stay away from its withering influence. And it just seems to grow and grow and grow. And then we become perplexed. And I'm taking phone calls in now. And they say, "You know, Pastor Paul, I'm going to have to move out of town. I am perplexed. I've seen three preachers on the north side move out of town. Some of the very best preachers in the country. And I prayed with them all. And they say, "You know what? I am perplexed." And then we don't know which way to turn. It's like the plague, the flies in Egypt. It baffles the opposition. And not many can stand before it, and the lying lips and the deceitful tongue, they cut so quickly. And they leave sort of a venom behind. They slither into the foliage, and slander is the foulest, I believe, of all sins. Now in the midst of this snake bite, let's take time out. You say, "What for?" Because it hurts. Have you ever been slandered? Well, there is a song. Have you ever been lonesome? Have you ever been blue? Okay. Have you ever been slandered? Now, I'm glad that in previous years I have been slandered enough so that I know what's going on. Say amen, somebody. And when it comes again, and it will, oh, God, yes, it will come. Oh, yes. Huh? When it does come, you'll be able to stand in that terrible day, for the father of lies is loose. And it says in the end, God is going to loose many seducing spirits out of the pit. And that's exactly what's happening right now. But we're going to take time out to cry out and to cry unto the Lord. That's what you have to do. I cried unto the Lord. Now that's the wisest course that you can follow. You see, it's no use to appeal to the people on the matter of slander. "Oh, please, kind sir, please, why are you saying this about me?" No, you turn them on. Listen to what I'm saying, folks. You turn them on. You turn their evil buds on. See, and you say, "Well, why are you saying this?" Don't, you know, it's like kind of like when you're out there in a farm and you see this crusted over dung. Don't walk up with a stick and start stirring it. You know what? You're going to raise a stink if you do. Leave it, crust it over, walk around it. Don't put your foot in it. How many hearing this? Hey, you're going to need this message down the line. Maybe you need it tonight. Maybe you're listening on the radio. I know there's someone listening on the radio. I know there's somebody listening on the Lord speaking that's going to need this message. There is no fight. Don't appeal to the honor of the slanderers. Well, you say, why? Because they don't have any. They don't have any honor. And I mean, your most piteous demands for justice will only spread the snake venom and encourage fresh insult. Why are you saying this? When you get all excited about what somebody is saying. Why are you saying this? Is it true? Don't stir it up. Let them wear themselves out. Say amen. Let them totally wear themselves down, and you know what? Even their friends will turn on them in the end anyway. All you're going to do is encourage fresh insult. Stay away from terrible tongue and lying lips. Or maybe you want a second venomous bite. Stay away. Run. Hide, if you will. But don't hang around with snakes. Don't try to seek out some kind of honor with them. They have no honor. You might as well plead with a lion that hasn't eaten for a month or two. They aren't going to see it your way. Man, they are on a roll. You're the roll. How many hearing this? Well, I'll tell you something. Doesn't some good thing come out of everything? You know what good comes out of a slanderer? Do you know what good comes out of a falsehood? It drives you to your knees and to your God. Isn't that some good? Thank you. Now it turns you on to seeking the Lord with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. And you cried out unto the Lord, and he heard me, David said. Nobody else is going to listen to you. But you cry out, God hears. Yes, he does. He is a living God. So prayer to him is reasonable, and the Bible says it's profitable. It ain't going to profit you nothing to talk to somebody who doesn't want to talk to you. See, they don't want to talk to you. They want to talk about you. Oh, please don't talk about me when I'm gone. You ever hear that song? Oh, but they will. So let them continue, and while they're busy over there, keep them busy talking about you. They ain't hurting nobody else then, see? And let them get over there and do all their talking, and then go over there and do the work that God has told you to do. And don't be bothering with these fools. Say amen, somebody. God will not hear this lie against us. No, he won't. But he will hear our prayer against the lie. Isn't that wonderful? God isn't even hearing them. I say, God, you know this is like, Lord, I know it's a lie. Let me handle it. Don't you get in. Don't make this a double duty deal where you're judging these people. Let me take care of it, would you please? Leave room for the wrath of God. Do you think your wrath is worse than the wrath of God's? But also, David here in this psalm, he says, I found victory this way. Verse 2, deliver my soul from lying lips. Well, he says that because it takes divine power to save a man from this deadly duo. But notice, your very soul is at stake. Your very life is at stake. Well, doesn't it say you lose your life to gain it? That's why I've ministered on, don't be afraid to lose your reputation, because you're going to lose it anyway. And if the bigger it gets and the higher the blocks are, the more people is going to try to be kicking it over. And the easier it is to be coming down. Are you hearing this? Be careful when you think you stand, lest you fall. So you might as well lie down on your back and cry out to the Lord. And the Bible says, I will hear you, and he heard me. Oh, it says, cry out to the Lord. Call upon my name in the time of trouble, and I will answer. Wouldn't you rather call upon the name of the Lord? Look at Job's friends. Wouldn't you rather call upon the name of the Lord in the time of trouble? Who else can you call on? You can't call on yourself. See, because part of what they're saying, you think, well, probably some of that's true, and it's true about everybody. There isn't one person living on this planet, ever has been, ever will be, the Bible says, that doesn't sin. And it says the man that says he be without sin is a liar and there's no truth in him. Now you're a liar there. That's what I'm talking about tonight. Say amen, somebody. Well, now you're encouraging people to go out and sin. No, I'm telling them the truth here. Don't fight against this deadly duo here. And notice your very soul, I says, it is at stake. And some seem to lie just for the sake of lying. You know what I mean? They can't help themselves. They just lie. Now they got a good deal on the car. And I say, how much you pay for that? Start out at $1,000. Well, I only paid $850. And pretty soon it's down to $650. They cannot help themselves. They have to lie. Some just lie for the sake of it. It is their sport and it is their spirit to lie. And there is no defense against them. Their lips need to be burnt with a hot poker. If I had my way, they would cut them off. And you see somebody walking around with no lips, you'd know what they did. Say amen. That's what we would like to do in the natural. But you see, that is not our job to cut someone's lips off. Our job is to call upon the name of the Lord. Lord, there's some lying lips down here, and let the Lord cut them off. Are you hearing this? And then it says, deliver me from a deceitful tongue. Well, I think this is worse than a downright falsehood. Someone that deceives. See, because then you got to hatch this thing. You got to figure out how you're going to lie. And you got to figure out how it's going to be feasible. Then you got to figure out if somebody asks you this question or that question, how you answer it so they won't catch you in the lie. Now you're deceitful. Those who fawn, and then there are those that flatter, and then they puff up babes. You ever been around with somebody that puff up a babe? They're a brand new babe in Christ, and they start to puff them up. Oh, you got that discerning spirit. I don't know how you knew that. God must be using you for a wonderful work. You saw that person or that married couple or that this person or that hobo or whatever for he really was. And so now they're a discerning monster. They're a little babe in Christ. They got diapers on, they're full, and they got one shoe on and one shoe off, and they don't know nothing from nothing, and someone comes along, a deceitful person, and puffs them up and sends them out to do ruin. Are you hearing this? You're going to run into it, you probably already have. And all the while, these people have enmity in their hearts. They hate these babes. They'll use them. And I'll tell you right now, these are horrible beings. They are the seed of the devil, and the devil worketh in them after his own deceptive nature. And they are all over the place, claiming religious freedoms, claiming all of these things, and taking that religious freedom to an excess and overusing it for the ruination of one another. And it's going on all over, isn't it? Better to be confronted, I think, by snakes and lions and bugs than deceivers. You know what a bug's going to do? He's going to bite you. You know what a snake is going to do? He's going to bite you. Ain't that right? You know what a lion's going to do? He's going to eat you. But you never know what a deceiver's going to do. You know, it's kind of like getting into a fight. It ain't so bad after the first punch in the face. Then it's okay. It's waiting for that first punch in the face. See, that punch in the face is what gets you going. Say amen, somebody. But I think this should be a warning to the liars and to the deceivers. Are you hearing this? When they see all good, men pray against them. Now, that's why it says pray for your enemies. Now, my God, it seems like in my ministry and over these years, I have had great occasion to pray for my enemies. And you know what? It gives me peace in my heart when I do it. Say, my God, your word says pray for these people. Pray for those that say all manner of evil against you for my namesake. Pray for them. Pray for your enemies. You know why? It gives you peace. God says, if you got something against a brother, aught against a brother, don't come to the altar. First go make it right with that brother and then come back to the altar. Now, a lot of times you can't get to a brother, but you can get to a brother through prayer. You can get to a sister through prayer, and you start praying for them, people, you're released. And now there's no iniquity in your heart, and God can hear your prayers. Don't cut yourself off from God answering your prayers. Don't get bitter. Don't get spiteful over people. Don't do that. Don't you know we're all sinners saved by grace? There ain't going to be nobody in heaven but just sinners. That's all it's going to be up there, sinners saved by grace. There ain't no room up there for self-righteous people. There ain't no room up there for people who have never done no sin. God says, I don't even hear your cries. You don't need me. I came to save sinners. Now, I can just hear that radio buzzing right now. There are people on there who think that they never sinned. I talked to a person on the telephone. He says, God, there's a lot of sinners out there. I said, well, you're one. No, I'm not a sinner. I says, you most assuredly are. Don't you want to be a sinner? Well, no, I don't want to be a sinner. Well, I says, you ain't going to make it to heaven then. That's all it's going to be up there, sinners. Oh, no, you got it wrong. I says, no, I got it right. No, already, I says, you sound self-righteous. Are you saying you're better than somebody else? Well, you know what I mean, Pastor Paul. I don't sin. I says, yes, you do. You're saying you're good. And Jesus said, there's no one good but the Father. What is this, double talk or something? I says, hey, get it through your head. There's no good thing in you, and your only spirituality that you have is Jesus Christ in you. That's as spiritual as you're going to get. Having Jesus Christ is your spirituality. Yeah, but I say, are you going to say that you know more than your master? That you've been to all these teachings and here and there and all over the place and now you're some kind of a self-righteous, you've built yourself up and you've studied and you've, you know, what are you? What you're saying to me right now is you're self-righteous. And you're setting yourself up as being a liar. Click, brr. That's the truth. Ooh, are you hearing this message tonight? And then the Lord said, pray this, deliver us from evil. Don't you believe that when you pray it? Oh, hey, in my ministry, I've had people walk up to me and ask me the damnablest questions. Don't be deceived by questions. Like, Pastor Paul or Corey, what do you think of this? Verse 3. What shall be given unto thee? What should the slanderer be paid for his slander? Or the liar? Or the deceiving, questioning troublemaker? I thought to myself, it should be something great to make it worth his while for such an atmosphere that he has to work in, this foul, putrid, nauseating stink as ruining one's soul. You should get paid a whole lot for doing that. I mean, the liar and the deceiver shall get his just deserts. And what should that be, pray tell? What punishment would be equal to the crime of ruining someone's soul? Or should I say, what should be done unto the false tongue? Retaliation wouldn't be enough, would it? Because no one can slander the slanderer. He is too rotten to make rottener. He is too stinky to be made stinkier. He is too black to blacken. What can you do to them? How do you defame someone that's defamed themselves? No, it is not worth it to get even. Oh, get even if it's the last thing I do. Buddy boy, you wait. I'm going to dig up every skeleton in your closet and ooh. Huh? I read about a cuttlefish. That's the kind of fish that goes down the bottom of the river and stirs up all the mud. There's a lot of cuttlefish out there. Sort of like the skunk. He raises a stink that no one can battle. Can you battle a skunk? No. And so you see, he often escapes from those he or she has caused pain. His crime becomes a shield. And now he has to walk around with his shield. Maybe he's ruined someone's life. My God, people do that a lot. And they hold their crime up as their shield. But now everybody knows them by the shield that they have. And so wherever that they may go, people run from them. Say, oh my God, look at that. Look at there. He's got his shield up. And on the front of this shield, it's got every blasphemous, slanderous thing they've ever done, and people are afraid they'll be the next one. You ever been around somebody like that? Huh? And when they come your way, you wonder, hey, let me out of here. This guy is trouble. You ever been around somebody like that? They call them troublemakers. They make trouble. Oh, God, there are a lot of troublemakers. Did you ever notice that? You ever been in school and there always seems like in the class there always be one troublemaker? And they'll get something going? Now, I'm just sitting here and this is no reflection on you too, okay? Okay, did you ever been around somebody like that? They are makers of trouble. Or in factories, or in offices. They'll be at the water faucet looking just as sweet and nice as can be. Hi. Well, I wonder what's on the agenda today. You didn't hear? She moved up to first place just because she types 195 words a minute. Troublemakers are all over the place. If they can't make that work, then they'll slander the person. And if they can't make that work, then they'll cause a lie. And how do you fight that? Cry upon the name of the Lord in the time of trouble, and he will answer. Say amen. Hey, something we all need to know. You get into this thing, and it's going to come on planet Earth like never before, sort of like a Gaddafi thing. A blackmailer. I'll just go over there, and you never know where I'm going to strike. Well, you'll know where we're going to strike, Gaddafi. We'll just be head on with you. Say amen, somebody. We aren't going to challenge you in the marketplace or in the schools. You understand what I say? It's just being honest. It's driving your ships up there and say, go ahead. Put a bomb in pennies. Say amen, somebody. See, now there's just common sense in this thing. You understand what I'm saying? You don't have to do anything. You just have to, having done all, stand. Do everything you can. And what do you do? What are you supposed to do? Call upon the name of the Lord. Lord, I am in trouble. You know what? He will answer. Well, you say, now what's going to happen? What will God do? Verse 4. Sharp arrows of the mighty. And who's mighty? God. And so a warning to the gossips. God's arrows are headed your way like guided missiles. And you never know when they're going to hit. You called upon the name of the Lord in the time of trouble, and the sharp arrows of the mighty are on the way. Sharp, and the Bible says swift, and the Bible says piercing clear through. Friend, you listening, God will see to that. Say amen. The slanderer shall feel woes comparable, it says in the Bible, to the coals of the juniper. On a juniper tree, it's quick to flame. Fierce in blazing. Long in burning. So I would say to avoid the slander as you would hellfire. Woe is me, it says, that I sojourn in Meshach, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. Well, okay, I got to say this. I know there's a lot of good and a lot of gracious men that are vexed with conversation of the wicked. And he cries out, woe is me! And the sin has sickened him. Those who defame the righteous are worse, I believe, than cannibals. See, because savages cook and eat their men after they're dead, but lying lip and terrible tongue eat them alive. They don't even bother to cook you. They give you a spiritual roast and then they eat you. That's just a quick thing, see. Now, verse 6. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. Some people cannot stand peace. They have got to make war. You ever been around somebody like that? You're sitting there and you're feeling kind of peaceful and all of a sudden you feel war looking at you. Uh-oh, your stomach starts to turn. There's a war coming on and you can almost see the guns raising on the battleship. And you can hear the click, 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 click of the computers working there. And you are ready for action, buddy. They cannot stand peace. If you're peaceful and you're sleeping, they'll wake you up so they can war with you. Wake up! War's about to happen, huh? And there are people like that that can't stand peace. They can be in a group. They can be in a church. They can be in a factory. They can be in the White House. They can be in a home, and they can't stand peace. They hate peace. Boy, it's dead in here. It's about time for a war. How many like, I love peace. Oh, I love peace. Some people don't. They got to be warring. Oh, you're so peaceful. Why are you so peaceful? Well, I don't know. It's the way I am. Why? Is it time for war again? Do I have time to put my shield on? They're out there, let me tell you. I used to be in a group of pastors that met, and there was always one guy there who would come, and he would cause war. And even new people would come in to join the prayer group. One guy came from the outside and he came in. You know what you need down here on the north side? And he started to prophesy over everybody. And I stopped him right in the middle of it. I said, brother, you don't know a thing about the north side. You lock your car doors when you go through here. You'll fly over in a helicopter, but my God, you'll never stop and come to church or do anything. Isn't that right? Came to cause war. He cries out, woe is me! Woe, Lord! All peacemakers are such a blessing. But isn't a peace hater, isn't it a curse? Someone that hates peace. Maybe you're a housewife and you're so happy. Your little tables are dusted and your little knickknacks are right in shape. Your little horses and little camels and all of your stuff is so nice. And you're dusting and you're so happy and pleased and everything. And the door opens up and war, Thor is home. There are guys like that. Can't stand peace. And their wives quake and shake. And vice versa. All things being equal. Maybe you're feeling good about getting your car fixed. Go wash down at the public bath. Oh, peace haters are all over the place. Can't stand peace. And they wander into churches all over the world and they come in for war. One night is a nightmare. But to dwell with one is hell. Quarrelsome spirits who love to quarrel, who love to cause division, and who live to deceive. I had a woman come down not too long ago, and she sounded pretty good, but it was just something there, you know what I mean? And I seen her doing one of these year in the army jobs with her folded her arms. She was about 6 foot tall. And she had on these Sergeant Bilko work shoes, you know what I mean? And I seen her overlooking the area like this. And I said, no, 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 this woman is not for here. I said, sister, I don't think I'll be needing any help. She had already caused so much trouble in the hour and a half that she was here, I didn't believe it. In an hour and a half. I didn't know her from anything. Quarrelsome spirits who love to quarrel, who love to cause division, and who love to deceive. God, they're all over. And there's so much to do. Okay, now let's leave the last verse of Psalm 120 and verse 7. I am for peace for just a minute. Lying lips and terrible tongue. Let's get into Exodus 20 and 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Sound hard? I mean, does this rule sound insulting? Does it seem to point then an accusing finger in your face or our face? Now, I think this is really true if we realize that the Holy Spirit is speaking right to us. If I walked right up, you listening on the radio, and I looked you right in the eye and says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, would you resent it? Of course you would. I'd be fortunate if I'd walk away with my life. See, I believe people don't feel so attacked by a rule against stealing as they do against bearing false witness, because they know that's terrible. But I do know one thing that can take care of all and take care of all the harshness out of this rule and make it sound sweet and protective and warm. And that is, if you are the one who is being attacked by lying lips or terrible tongue, and if I know all this and then come and say to you, I am sorry for what you are suffering, I know that isn't the truth. I know that your neighbor is wrong. Your attitude, you listening, it would be a whole lot different, wouldn't it?